Ernest, what's up? Look, if creating content is more than just a passion project for you, it's time to make the passion profitable. With Kajabi, you can easily diversify your revenue, build your brand, and transform your audience into loyal customers. I know firsthand how challenging it can be to juggle content creation and business development, but Kajabi makes it easy to streamline everything in one place. As a creator, you are your brand, so your business should reflect exactly what you envision. With Kajabi, not only can you build your business your way, but you can also keep every cent of what you earn. It's an all-in-one platform that lets you focus on what matters most, your content and your audience. And let's face it, we all need a little help sometimes, especially when you're a one-person show. But you don't need to hire a full-time team. You just need Kajabi. Kajabi is a leading all-in-one platform that helps creators and entrepreneurs build successful online businesses by unlocking predictable, recurring revenue. Whether you're a coach, content creator, or educator, Kajabi makes it easy to transform your skills, passions, and experiences into enriching online courses, exclusive membership sites, subscription podcasts, and more. The best part? Kajabi doesn't take a cut of your revenue. Everything you create is owned and controlled by you, so you keep 100% of what you earn. On top of that, Kajabi gives you robust analytics, easy payment options, email marketing tools, and customizable website templates, everything you need to grow your business seamlessly. And here's the thing, you don't need a massive audience to make sustainable income. Thousands of creators are making six and seven figures with Kajabi, even with less than 50,000 followers. So if you're navigating the challenges of generating revenue as a creator, Kajabi can be the game changer you need. Right now, Kajabi is offering an incredible deal, a free 30-day trial to help you kickstart your business. Just head over to kajabi.com/earn to get started. That's kajabi.com/earn. Join the creators and entrepreneurs who've made over $7 billion on their platforms and take control of your financial future with Kajabi today. Kajabi.com/earn. Don't miss out on this opportunity to turn your passion into profit. Earners, what's up? Y'all know the adage, buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise flagship fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise flagship fund to your portfolio in just minutes and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/earn. That's fundrise.com/earn. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise flagship fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4x points on your top two eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4x points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
All right, guys, welcome back.
Yeah.
We are in the home studios, and we have a special guest today. April showers brings May flowers.
That's a fact.
That's what they say.
How many times you heard that growing up?
Less than a million, maybe.
Somewhere around there.
Somewhere around there.
Is that your real name?
Mm-hmm. Born and raised.
April Showers.
Oh, my birth certificate. Herman Showers is my father.
So what would, that's why they named you April Showers after the saying?
Yes, because if I was a boy, I would be Thunder, because I'm born in July.
Thunder Showers.
Thunder Showers.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
I would have been, you know, a running back or something like that.
Thunder, yes.
Thunder Showers.
Thunder Showers. Or a boxer. Or boxer.
Definitely in a WWE.
You don't even need a boxing name. That'll be your boxing name.
Sure. Thunder Showers.
I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Thunder Showers.
Or you could work for OKC.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Thunder.
You know, there's so many possibilities.
What's the fact?
And I'll just have everybody know she walked in with a different type of energy today. We'll get into that. But there's definitely a West Coast flavor to it.
For sure.
Yeah, West Coast State. West Coast.
Oh, I've been on you. I have been on you the last 48
Before you
hours.
Got here, it was the whole
thing. Oh, about my take on this battle? Shout out to the West
Shout
Coast.
Out to the West. Yo, I'm happy for y'all. I'm happy for hip hop.
Shout out to LA, man.
Jeez.
But
we're from New York, so
I know. We good though.
All right. Just making sure.
Y'all birth Pac, so you know.
That's a fact. That's Michael a fact. Jordan too. Let's not forget. We're claiming that.
So April is a pioneer and entrepreneur, founder of Afro Unicorn, the first black woman-owned, fully licensed character brand in major retail. And this is sample.
Oh, in case you were wondering.
In case you were wondering. Yeah.
Yeah.
In case you were wondering. It's a groundbreaking brand, celebrates diversity and empowers women and children of color,
mm-hmm.
and has sold over 20 million in sales.
Yeah.
As Bart Speaker, you've been on numerous platforms, like over 30 I saw in the bio.
Yes, sir.
Everything from...
This was it, though.
I saw it.
This was on the board. Like, this was on my board, so...
I saw it in the bio. It said Earning Leisure 2024.
Yeah.
I said, we spoke this in the first... And we've met before.
We did.
I think at the time you were about to do, or you had just done CBS in the morning.
Right. Oh, you remember me. Yeah, we met at, what's it called? New York... Fashion Week,
yes.
Harlem at
yes.
the Apollo.
Oh, the Harlem.
Yes. And you had just done it. Yeah, that's true. Yep.
So this is going to be a dope conversation talking about, you know, the motivational speaking, the products, entrepreneurship, your journey. So thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
And thank you for having me.
Yes.
For sure. Absolutely. So, all right, let's get into it. Where does this start, right? Because you're from LA, South Central LA. We just found that out.
The albums might have given it away as well.
Okay. Shout out to my LA family. All Money In, you know, those guys, the Ice Cube, you know, we got a lot of friends in LA. But okay. How do you get the vision to become an entrepreneur? What's the first steps to actually, you know, achieve this goal and explain the actual product behind the unicorn?
Okay, that's a lot. So first off, entrepreneurial, it was in me. It's a spirit that I've had since I was about 14 years old. My first gig was, I was 19, and I hired a bunch of young ladies that were like my mini-me's to be PAs for other people in the entertainment industry. So I started that at 19. And then from there, I just was always trying to find a hustle. I really do think it's in you. Because a lot of people think when they work 9 to 5, like, I just don't want to work for nobody else. But if you not work in the 9 to 5, how the 9 to 5 is supposed to be worked, you're not going to work for yourself more. Like, I think that that's so false.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward a little bit to how I got to Afro Unicorn. I own and operate a State Farm agency. I'm about to hit year 13. I'm also a licensed real estate broker. So a friend kept referring to me as the unicorn. Oh, and the most important, I'm single mother to amazing young black boys, honor roll student boys. Shout out to Jesse and Christopher.
Shout out to them.
And so my friend kept telling me I was a unicorn. He was like, you're a unicorn. You're a unicorn. He said it for like 2 years. I'm like, why you keep calling me that? He's like, well, because you have the businesses that you're maintaining. You're raising the boys. You know, you're doing it. I said, well, I'm a woman. That's what I'm built to do. Like, he's like, nah, April, you do it at an extraordinary level. That's what makes you a unicorn. So the idea of being a unicorn came from my friend. I Googled it because I didn't really know what unicorns were. I saw they were unique. They were mystical. I'm like, I'm definitely unique. I'm all things black girl magic. And I started to use the emojis in our phone until one day I was like, dang, why is it white? Like, it don't resonate with me anymore. So I actually went to go find one that looked like me. I couldn't find one. So instead of complaining about it, I said, well, I'm going to create one that looks like me. And then during the creation of it, we had different shades of it. I'm like, yo, this looks like a movement. And I bet it's so many other women out there that felt like I was feeling, didn't know that they had the unicorn within them. I'm going to go find my tribe. So that's how it kind of started with me creating a platform in 2019 to highlight other entrepreneurs, to shine light on them, to let them know that anything is possible, and to give them something that represented who they were, that they could physically wear. So at the first drop was just apparel, was just a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then the likes of Tiffany Haddish, Sherry Shepherd, Alicia Keys, all of them jumped on board immediately because I would just be in their comments and DMs saying, hey, have you ever seen an Afro Unicorn before? I created a brand of women of color who hustle, follow the movement. They already resonated themselves with either Black Unicorn or Super Mom or Super Entrepreneur. So when they slid over to my page, they were like, dang, that unicorn represents who I am. So now, fast forward maybe a year or two later, and I'm skipping the line, we could always go back. But Walmart reaches out after a video went viral of a little girl wearing an Afro-Unicorn shirt. And they saw the comments that said, that's Afro-Unicorn's baby, that's Afro-Unicorn's apparel. And she reached out and was like, hey, would you consider doing party supplies with us? And that's what got me into licensing. Again, yeah. I said a lot, but we could go all the way back because it's deep.
2019, mm-hmm. we launched it, right? But then 2020 is the pandemic.
Yep.
So how are you navigating through that? Because is it still t-shirts during the pandemic, or did you have to change the business model or adapt to, obviously, e-commerce might have worked into your benefit? What was that like during the pandemic time as you had just launched a brand?
So at first I was printing shirts, right? Mm. And then I realized that that wasn't going to get it for me because the orders were coming in. There's three different shades. I couldn't figure out, okay, how many... At the time, I had vanilla, mocha, and caramel. Like, how many vanillas going to be 3XLs? How many are going to be 2XLs? So it was very complicated. So I immediately switched over to print-on-demand.
Okay.
And with print-on-demand, they have other, like, accessories that I added. Because as soon as I dropped the shirt, people were like, oh, do you have this on a notebook? Can I get it on a backpack? Can I get it on this or that? And so I was like, well, whatever they got on print-on-demand, I'll find it and I'll get it out. So my focus from day one was just to put it on as many people as possible so I could have walking billboards.
Gotcha.
So talk about all the product lines that you actually have within the umbrella of the unicorn. You have the merch. Talk about everything.
We've put out probably about 500 different SKUs. Categories about 25. So we have hair care, have a full line, magical tresses, shampoo, conditioner, edge control. Then we have toys, plush, coloring books. I just dropped another book with Random House yesterday, my step into reading book. That's my sixth book with Random House. Graphic novels with Andrews McNeil coming out in July. Of course, the apparel, backpacks, suitcases, fruit snacks, cakes in every grocery store, cookies. I'm leaving pajamas. That's a whole different category in itself. Women's line is a different category. What am I leaving out? We had trampolines at one point. We're working with ride-alongs right now, so you'll be able to have, like, you know, the little RVs or whatever were they called, the kids, the cars, like the little Escalades and stuff.
Oh, like the toy trucks.
Yeah, the toy trucks. We're getting into that. Did I say the hair? Oh, hair accessories.
That's a lot.
So, like, you got bows and clips and all of that, and I know I'm leaving a lot of things, puzzles. I'm trying to walk the aisle. I got bandages.
So how does this... Okay, so you have an idea for a unicorn, right? Just the symbolicness of a Black unicorn, which represents strength and uniqueness in Black women, pretty much, paraphrasing, right? So then you start with a t-shirt, which that's easy to print up. Anybody can do t-shirts, right? And people start wearing a t-shirt, right? So... how do you go into all of these other different, are you just licensing your name to products? Like, is it like white labeled? Like, how are you going to like all these other different verticals?
So I love that we're going to dive into this because I always say that licensing, it's a $98 billion industry and 46% of that is character licensing, but it's still like a 2%. Of industry, right? So only really 2% know what licensing in the character space really is. But so when I tell people I'm the owner of a fully licensed character brand, they're like, oh, great. Now, what is that? My direct competitors are Disney, Marvel, and Nick. So to find Afro Unicorn, wherever you see Mickey Mouse, you will see Afro Unicorn next to it. Those companies, they are licensed character brands, meaning that they are the licensor. They own the intellectual property, and then they find licensees who either directly manufacture or they have manufacturing facilities abroad or domestically where they ship directly into retail. what they do as a licensee, they give the licensor, Disney, Marvel, and Nick, they give them an upfront minimum guarantee to be able to say, hey, if you allow me to do, I have underwear too. If you allow me to do underwear with your logo on it, with your character artwork on it, I'm going to pay you X amount of dollars in advance, in addition to also a royalty for every item sold. So that is what licensing is. I always try to bring it back to a little bit of hip hop to make people really understand that infamous interview with Kanye and Sway. When Kanye was saying, look, I'm trying to get like the Ralph Laurens and the Calvin Kleins of the world. And Sway was like, but you're rich, Kanye. Just go take all your millions and make your own products. Kanye was like, you ain't got the answers. Like, I lost $27 million trying to do it that way. That ain't it. They doing something that I don't know what they're doing to get it out to mass distribution. Fast forward 6 or 8, maybe 8 years later, he does the licensing deal with Adidas and becomes a billionaire on paper. We could talk about how good or bad his deal was, but in essence, licensing allows you to get mass distribution very quickly without having to have the upfront cost.
Mm. All right. I got that. So you said your item, Unicorn, is going to be sold. So I imagine there's a shelf. Disney is licensing Mickey Mouse, right? Mm-hmm. Nick is going to license Dora the Explorer and I guess Spider-Man. And then you're just sitting on a shelf. You take it to somebody. They say, here's the amount of money. Now.
So you are licensing or you're not licensing?
You are licensing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm the only black woman to have a fully licensed character brand.
Now you choose the retail or how does that work, right? So we get in Walmart, how do we get to Target? How do we get into those? How does that work?
So traditionally it will work with the licensees, would have the relationship. So there's one guy that does underwear for everybody.
For all the retail.
For the majority of it. Okay. He does all the underwear for every single character that you see. If you flip over the package, you'll see, I opened into this new world. Like now I know whenever I go to the stores, all I do is flip over packages because I want to know who's actually distributing these packages. Mm-hmm. I mean, this product. So the way that it will work is that in your contract, you will specify the retail channels that they're allowed to sell into.
Gotcha.
But being new to the space and not, really, we learned it from the gate. So me and my partner, Askia Fountain, hey, Askia. Me and Askia watched The Toys That Made Us on Netflix. And that was the behind the scene of like Ninja Turtles, Hello Kitty, He-Man, and all these other great properties, right? And it talked about licensing because I didn't know anything about it when Walmart presented it to me, right? Mm-hmm. So we learned that we had to build relationships quickly and fast. We understood that if we wanted to get to Target or we wanted, okay, I think the first thing we had was party supplies, right? So I had 2 licensees to prepare the party supplies. And when we dropped in Walmart, we had 22 SKUs. So when you say party, you're like, you know, napkins and plates, but those plush was also in party. And then from there, we went to apparel. The unique thing about licensing is such a small industry, they all know each other. That's what Kanye was saying. Like, they got this information that's not getting out. I say it's never lack of talent with us. It's always lack of information because we always have what it takes to succeed, but the information does not trickle down to us. And I felt like, look, I know how it works. So we're going to go out and find as much information as we possibly can. So I just started going to stores and flipping over packages. I would see who manufactured. I would go on LinkedIn. I would find that company. I would search the people that worked there. I would see who were the buyers. I'll DM them saying, hey, Walmart is bringing us in. We're a new brand. I would love to have a conversation, but they were already talking. So they're also like two degrees removed. So if you're on the underwear side, you know the pajama guy because he's probably your cousin or your uncle. And then the pajama guy knows the shirt guy. And that's how it's just word of mouth, really. But it's vital, the information that we just don't have and that doesn't come down this way.
So what's the first product, right? Because I'm imagining, and it's people listening to the story now, you trademark it, mm-hmm. right? And then the first product is what? After the t-shirts.
In retail?
Yeah.
Party supplies.
The party supplies.
Walmart reached out and asked, can we create a line for party supplies?
So after they do the party supplies, they see the sales of that. They say, do you have more? Or
They didn't even see the sales.
Okay.
So we were in a unique position after George Floyd.
Oh, okay.
And we were part of that whole push for DEI, right? Mm-hmm. Where everyone wanted to bring something to check the box off. And I'm okay. I'm okay with being brought in like that. I'm just going to make sure I stay in, right? So I believe that they were trying to find diverse properties at the time. So it aligned that they found Afro Unicorn and they brought us in that way, right? So that's Party Supplies was the first. And immediately when Walmart is the largest retailer in the U.S., I don't know if people know that. They think Target has about 1,800 doors. Walmart has about 4,000. They're huge. Mm-hmm. So if Walmart has your attention, everyone's talking now. So before we even went to sales, we already had our deal for apparel. So Walmart reached out August of 2021. We launched in May of 2022. And we were already in maybe four categories before we sold anything.
Yeah. Okay. So each category you're getting a check.
Oh, yeah.
So how does the licensing actually work? Like, can you break that down? Like the deal structure?
So you get a minimum guarantee. It could be anything from 10,000 to a million.
That no matter, even if it doesn't sell anything, that's what minimum guarantee means.
Minimum guarantee.
You're going to get $10,000 no matter what, or you'll get $1 million no matter what.
Right.
Right.
And then you get a royalty. So hopefully the licensee will be able to recoup that minimum guarantee based off of sales. Mm-hmm. And then once they get that minimum guarantee back, then you start receiving your royalties from that. Royalties for a character brand can go anywhere between 8% to about 15%.
So you get, let's say, $500,000 no matter what happens, and then you get a 15% royalty. But now that 15% doesn't kick in until the first $500,000 is actually recouped.
Correct.
Right? That's how it works?
Correct.
After the $500,000 is actually recouped, then you start to earn the royalty. You don't earn royalties from day one.
Only against the minimum guarantee. I don't receive royalty. I earn it, but I don't receive it.
You don't receive it.
Yes.
Until the minimum guarantee is met.
Correct.
And then you personally start to get paid, or whoever Correct. Personally starts to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So in your opinion, why is that better than like, actually starting a shampoo business yourself?
Well, let me explain something. With licensing, I'm the 100% owner of the brand. So creatively and quality control, nothing moves without me. So it's 100% owned by Afro Unicorn, which is owned by me.
So, but it's produced by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's produced by somebody else. You own it, but they'll get the majority profit because they're actually producing it. They're putting all the money up, right? In a sense,
but like Kanye said, he lost $27 million trying to do it the other way.
No, I'm trying to educate the people. So I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but I'm saying like, why is that more beneficial? To me, it was more beneficial because obviously it's less overhead, right? You don't have to put the money out yourself. It's less risk and you can scale quicker. As opposed to you focus, like if you try to do everything yourself on one particular product, that might take 5 years to get that product off the ground. Where now you can do 30 different products, right? But you have other people that's actually putting up the money, doing all of the labor and stuff like that. So that allows you to move quicker. So you're getting less money, but you're moving faster.
You can expand faster and now you can really be a CEO and market the business. Because once you have a warehouse and you're trying to, you know, you got forklifts and boxing and moving units and this got to go out. And then also this capacity.
Yeah.
Because if you got a call today, that little notebook that y'all have right there, the little sticker book, mm-hmm. Target ordered over 1 million of those. So it's also capacity. So if someone called and said, oh, I love y'all shirts, I need y'all to deliver 500,000 of them in 2 months.
Let me tell you. As you were saying, I'm thinking to myself, on top of everything Shari just said, because I think those are all brilliant points as to why it makes sense. It's a lot of times when we start businesses, we're not ready to scale, right? We don't have the infrastructure. We may not have the capital to scale, right? So you're saying that a video went viral. A lot of times in our businesses, we go viral, but we don't even have the inventory to match the demand. Sorry for the unicorn, right? But in your case, you don't even have to worry about that, right? Because they're going to match the demand because they're the retailer that's providing the actual product.
Yes, not the retailer directly, but the licensee. Yeah, licensee is going to. But one thing, when I built Afro Unicorn, I built it to sell. I believe every business should be built to sell. And there's certain things that you have to set into place. I didn't know about licensing again. So the only option that I knew, because I knew day one, 2019, I said, I've been recorded. Afro Unicorn will be a household name and a worldwide brand. I knew that from the beginning. I just didn't know how it was going to happen. I thought the only option at that time was to sell it to a Mattel or to a Hasbro. Like, I had no clue that Disney did not manufacture their own products, that Marvel did not manufacture their own products. No clue. I thought I had to sell it to one of those guys in order to get it out there. But hell, they're selling it to other people. Well, they're renting it to other people. Basically, that's what licensing is. So, yeah. What are you going to say?
Well, you brought up those two. So I'm thinking to myself, at some point, if you already knew I want to sell this thing, at some point, were you approached by those brands? Because those are the two largest toy companies that I know, Hasbro and Mattel. Were you approached by them as they saw what was happening inside of retail?
So again, they're like me. They are intellectual properties. So Hasbro is a toy company. That I would do a licensing deal with. Again, I didn't understand how they operated to even know that that wasn't even really an option.
Okay.
So like we had conversations when we first launched with Nickelodeon, and they wanted to work on the animated series. Now, that's where it gets a little bit different. So like Disney can come in, a Nick can come in and say, hey, we want to make this a series. What will happen sometimes in those deals, you'll lose ownership. But there, so that's not something we were interested in, because Nick definitely wanted the property in the beginning, but they knew that I didn't want to lose any type of ownership in the brand.
So if they actually made an animated show about the character, they own the IP of the character now, or just the show? Because even if they have the show, don't you still own the licensing for the products?
That's why I did not pull the trigger on it. I figure if we build as much as we could on our own, once we get to the table, there's not much they can negotiate with as it relates to owning the IP. They could only own the rights for the animated series.
Gotcha.
Because we have too much product out in the marketplace for you to own Afro Unicorn.
So you said you started with the intent to sell, right?
Yes.
So what you do early to set up systems in place that you knew that you would be beneficial to actually sell later on?
First thing, trademark. A lot of people aren't prepared because they don't own their products. And I knew from the gate, if I have to sell, you can't sell anything you do not own. So even if, like you were talking about viral moments, people could have them all the time. But if you're not ready, I'm from LA, if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. Shout out to Sugar Free, west side of Pomona. But knowing that, in order for me to sell it, I had to first own it. So my first step was, I know this is going to be big. I need to own it. So it was the trademark. The first person I actually hired was an accountant. I am terrified of going to prison. So I'm like, I've heard too many stories of taxes. So I got my accountant on from day one just to make sure the books were clean, because I know that's what they're going to want to look at to see, you know, your numbers. And then I worked, I hustled. I wanted to get my numbers up so I could make sure that there was a valuation for the company. And so that's what my focus was, just to work hard. And eventually someone was going to notice, and they did. They just showed me a different route to get it.
So every time you add another vertical, another category, you add into the valuation of the company. Is there a number that you're looking to get to? Because we talk about technology companies and we always hear, oh, it's a 15x multiple, it's a 10x multiple. In this category, like, what is the multiple for this industry? And is that the goal, to build as many categories to have that valuation go up?
So my goal is not to sell Afro Unicorn. It's
okay.
Not.
Okay.
We have opened up different legs and arms, like Afro Unicorn Entertainment, where we will build the hotels and the live location-based entertainment, like the family attraction centers. And that is something that we want to get funding behind and eventually sell and make that public. But the IP itself will forever just be owned. Unless they come in with $100 billion, then I'm like, okay.
$100 billion. Hundred bees.
Because the thing about Afro Unicorn and what I really believe in is that it's true. The reason why the buyers love it is because it's organic. Like, we built this from the ground up. It's not a major mass studio pushing it. And it's really owned by a Black person.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remove me from the equation, it kind of just waters down the brand, and I don't want that.
So you talked about Kanye, and he became a billionaire because of Yeezy licensing deal with Adidas. He owned 100% of Yeezy, but it was distributed through Adidas. And when Adidas dropped him, he lost $4 billion in his net worth, right? So what does that speak to as far as on the licensing side? Did he have a bad licensing deal?
1,000%.
Explain.
So if I remember correctly, in his contract, he gave up creative control. And which means also in his contract, he also didn't have the language stated that anything that was developed by the licensee was owned by the licensor. So when I go to the table with my licensees and like we're looking at hair care, like bows and stuff, right? And they'll develop a different like look of the unicorn, maybe a different pose or a different pattern or something. I still own it. So when they make any variation of his product, they immediately grabbed ownership. I'm dealing with a situation right now with the company, not on the consumer product side, but it's on a different side, on the production side. And I saw how in the beginning, they were trying to change the look of the unicorn and trying to change a lot of things about the unicorn because they wanted to own as much of the property as they possibly could. So they probably tried to pull that on him. And I believe he said something like he don't read contracts. So.
Have there ever been any issues in terms of trademarking? We like when I mean, we come from an era where it was like, it was My Little Pony, right? Like that was, and then it was, I guess my daughter kind of fell into this like Rainbow Dash and all those things. And so have you come into contact with people trying to make a similar product or similar trademark? And how has that process been?
I did. It's hurtful, for one. Like, I take this personal. Because we didn't talk about how I started, the whole why Nipsey and Tupac are up here, like how my marathon continues, how I have this all gas, no breaks mentality that I launched this brand. My son was in the hospital for 20 days. When he got out, my favorite uncle died of a massive heart attack. 17 hours later, my uncle died. 6 months later, my grandmother died. And then we were in a global pandemic. I have a lot of heart and soul into this brand. So when someone tries to come out with their version of Afro Unicorn, it's a serious problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I had to, first I tried to ignore it. My thing was, I'm just going to work harder. Like, I'm just going to outwork them. I'm going to outwork them. But it starts to become confusion in the marketplace. And so the trademark attorney was like, April, you have confusion in the marketplace because people were purchasing this other brand believing that they were buying Afro Unicorn.
Mm.
So then we had to take it to, we had to sue.
Lawyer out.
Yeah, we had to lawyer out. It took a year.
Is it a domestic trademark or is it international as well?
only some countries, you know, you have to trademark it in every single country you mm-hmm. go to. Right now, we're only in the U.S. and Canada.
Okay.
So we have to strategically get to the other countries. We're working towards it, but it definitely is a process. But this particular company, it took us a year to get to a positive resolution that I'm still not really that much happy with, but I'm back to my thing. I'm just going to outwork them. So.
So what? Don't worry about the how.
Yes.
What does that mean?
I didn't know how I was going to be on this interview with y'all, but I knew it was going to happen because I saw it. So you have to, as an entrepreneur, entrepreneurs, that's who we're speaking to. You have to see the end goal, what it is. I knew African Corn was going to be a household name and a worldwide brand, point blank, period. You couldn't tell me that it wasn't. I didn't know how it was going to get there.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Is getting there through licensing, right? I'm just a real manifester. I truly believe that whatever I see already exists in the future, because you cannot see anything. You can't tell your right foot to go, like, you got, in order to walk, your brain got to tell your right foot to take the step, right? So I truly believe that before anything can happen, it's because it already exists, and I'll prove it to you. I know there's so many people out there that have seen ideas. They're like, dang, I had that idea. Because the moment you thought about it, it already exists. The problem is, are you going to be there to see it through? So I don't worry about the how. Once I see it, and everybody knows this around me. They know if April says it's going to happen, all money in.
All money in. That's a fact.
No money out. So are you using different companies for like the licensing, or is it the same company?
I have over 45 different licensees. Licensing is by category. So there's a company that does underwear, handcraft. There's a company that does apparel, Mad Engine. They're every single category. When you start going to stores, start flipping over those packages.
So how'd you find these companies?
Flip over the packages. And it says, I literally was in the stores. I was shoot pictures to Askia and be like, this is who I'm going to get on LinkedIn. I'm going to find this company and we're going to find who handles licensing.
And then you reach out to them?
Yep, directly.
And then you negotiate. Being that they didn't reach out to you, you reached out to them. They have more leverage in the situation, right?
Sometimes, but once you have Walmart. So my spade was Walmart, like. That was my ace. I had Walmart. And once you know you have the attention of Walmart, their antennas are up. Okay. Because everyone wants to get in Walmart. And people I know look at Walmart like, it's Walmart, because we don't really shop at Walmart. I know it's not a big thing here in New York, but for retail, they are the god. Walmart is the god of retail. And if you can't get your, like, everyone... It used to be, it's different now, but they're like, in order for a property to be successful, it has to be in Walmart.
But so you have, the relationship with Walmart is for every product that you have or for one product?
We have about 15 categories at Walmart.
So, like, explain that deal though. Like, so you go to Walmart and they're like, okay, we're going to give you open range for a variety of different, whatever you want.
Every category has a buyer. So even at Walmart, Walmart is located in Bentonville, Arkansas. And I want to say they probably have, they own the city. Like, that's how many campuses they have. And every single category, like that button there's a button buyer.
So you got to go pitch to them.
You have to pitch the actual buyer. So this is what happened for us. When the buyer that brought us in for party supplies, I remember that Hot Topic had reached out to me spring before, right? And I didn't respond to them because when they told me the royalty rate, I was like, that don't make no sense. I'm making more on my own. Like, I'm not doing that. And I didn't really respond. I just let it hang. They came back around the same time. Walmart came to me and they said, hey, you never you know, wrote us back. You didn't complete the contract. And I said, oh, okay, hold on. I went back to the buyer, Walmart. I said, Hot Topic is interested in the Afro Unicorn product, which was apparel at the time. I said, I wanted to let you know before I respond to them. And her response was, wait a minute, give me till Monday. She then sent the email out to all of her friend buyers to tell them about this property, Afro Unicorn. So then they reached out to me, and I didn't have, like when the fruit snacks guy reached out, I didn't have a fruit snacks manufacturer at the time, but you know, you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. So I went to the store and I flipped over some fruit snacks to find out who could I work with. But that's how it works. And again, it sounds complicated, but it only sounds complicated because it sounds so easy. So you're like, it can't be that easy. It is once you have the information on how it actually works. But every single category has a buyer. And what you were saying is when I reach out to them on LinkedIn, so I'm very, very strategic. I'm a marketing genius. So I knew when Walmart brought us in with party supplies, and then apparel came and we met with the apparel buyer, and she immediately was like, I'm ordering this for all doors, 100,000 units. It's needed. So I knew I had Party, which had two licensees, apparel had three licensees, and I think Party pulled in like cups or something. So we have four. We were meeting with, again, it was a buzz. So agents were coming to try to meet with us. And I would listen to what they were saying. I'm like, I didn't understand why I would need to pay y'all X amount of percentage for bringing business that we have Walmart. Like, so they're like, well, we're going to do a press release. I'm like, well, I could do a press release. That's what we did. We did a press release to the licensing trades that said, we couldn't say Walmart. We just said new property is set to launch in one of the largest retailers. Everybody know who's the largest retailer. And this is their property, Afro Unicorn. These are the partners. So once that went out on the trades, there's like six magazines in that trade. They all read it. And then they started to reach out. And the ones that didn't reach out are the ones that went to the store and started flipping over packages to let them know. And then they just verified us with their cousin, uncle, because they all know each other. It's a real small knit community.
Yeah. So in terms of, because we spoke about 20 million in sales, do you have a say in the price points for each of the items in the categories? How does that work? Or does the retail decide this is the price point we're going to put it at?
The margins decide. So the retail, the Walmart, they have a dollar amount that they don't want to go over because they are the low cost leader. So.
And so in terms of the sales then, is that they are obviously tracking the sales. You have privy to that. How was that first year when you were in the retail, right? Because you're talking about, this is quick. We 2019, we launched, obviously the pandemic. You know what happens with George Floyd. They're looking for products. 2022, you're in the stores. This is 3 years. How are we looking in that first year?
It was 5 million from July to December.
Wow.
15 million last year.
So when they buy the product, they're buying it, it's on consignment, or they're just buying it and then they're buying it for a certain price and then they're just selling it for whatever price that they want, and then they get the profit on that.
So Walmart buys it from the licensee at whatever the price cost over. So like, let's say that plush cost the manufacturer $1.25 to make. They'll probably sell it to Walmart for $2.75.
And then Walmart sells it for $5, mm-hmm, and keeps the difference.
Yeah. But I'm actually, when I say 20 million, I'm giving you the price that we're selling it to the retailer, not the actual sales price at the retailer store. That's higher. That's way higher.
But you're not included in that. You're included in the, okay.
Yeah.
And so would the price be the same? Like, let's say this, for instance, right? Mm-hmm. You sell this outside of Walmart or only in Walmart?
We sell it outside of
Walmart. Like on a website?
I think that's at a store called K&G and some other stores it popped up at.
Is it the same price everywhere? Or is Walmart's price?
Walmart always wants to be the low price leader. So even with my hair care line, like we always got to make sure, even if it's one penny less, that Walmart is the low price leader.
So you can sell it for $4.99, but they can sell it for $4.89.
Yeah.
Are there product exclusivities inside of this space?
So when we first launched with Party with Walmart, they asked just as a courtesy, there was nothing in writing, that we gave them a 6 months exclusivity. I knew it was game time when the buyer came to me and said, April, you need to get this out to different retailers, because they truly, if you're smart, you believe that you understand that competition is healthy. That's why, I don't know how it is out here, but in LA, every Chick-fil-A you see now, they're building a Raising Cane's directly across the street. Mm. Every McDonald's has a Burger King. Every Starbucks is a coffee bean. Competition is healthy.
So what's the scaling model for your brands? Is it more corporate partnerships like Walmart? Is it online presence? What do you look for as far as, like, you know, taking to the next level?
Well, definitely expanding in retail, but what's really going to help the brand is the production deals that we're going to get out of this, because we have to have content. We're the only licensed character that doesn't have the actual show behind it. So we are working on my show, Miss April's Book and Crown Shop, Crown Store, but then the location-based entertainment. So the hotels, we want Chuck E. Cheese's. We want to franchise out our own Afronia places.
So you own this,
yep,
unicorn. You own a black unicorn?
Afro unicorn. I got to be very careful with that, because that was a problem. Afro unicorn.
What, there's a black unicorn already?
Let's focus on Afro unicorn. Afro unicorn was always the original.
Afro unicorn.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
we black unicorns.
So this image of this is what you own.
Yes.
And this could be in a cartoon, a movie, whatever. Mm-hmm. Afro unicorn.
Yes.
Yeah. And then when you're talking about the retail space, it's interesting, because I'm thinking Nintendo created Nintendo World, right? So, wait, okay.
I got excited because I forgot to tell you about them stickers right there. Because we're talking gaming now. You don't even see it. Pull those stickers out.
Just right here?
We launched on Roblox. We have a full Roblox experience.
So you're in Roblox with it?
Yes.
Because I was going. That's where I was going. I'm like, now it becomes the Afro unicorn world, where now you can see the characters, see them come to life. The other part is are you, because we have three unicorns, are we introducing more unicorns?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So even in the books now, so we even have boys. We have our Afrosaurus line. So we have Rex, we have Soar, we have Madam Empress, we have Superior Majestic. Again, I just dropped the sixth book yesterday. So we are telling the stories of the unicorns for sure.
How does Nipsey Hussle come into play here? You said that was motivation or something?
Yeah, so Nipsey died March 31st, 2019. Afro Unicorn's birth date was April 28th, 2019. So he definitely resonated with me with what he was building for us. And he was really all about the knowledge and the information. And once you have that information, you were supposed to go out and you're supposed to share it so that you could put somebody else on. I took it really, really hard, but I also took it like, I gotta carry, what is it called? The little torch thing, what is it? When you in America, you know, the baton.
Yeah.
I gotta keep it going. And so my whole theme when I birthed Afro Unicorn on April 28th, I had a table similar to this with folding chairs around it. I invited 25 women to my house and I said, we're building a platform where we're going to pour into each other to help support your visions, to find out what you're passionate about so we could find out how we can monetize what you're passionate about. Those that had businesses, I purchased from them to give to the other ladies. And I have folding chairs because there was a quote that said, if you don't get a seat at a table, you bring your own folding chair. I had Nipsey playing. I'm like, you know, we about to continue this marathon. We're building something. And I remember that day they were like, you know, all in tears. Everyone was loving it. And it goes, what's the Instagram account so I can tag you? And I'm like, huh? I didn't even have Instagram. I just wanted to start this movement. And then my son went into the hospital a few days later. So then we could back up a little bit to talk about the Nipsey. And I remember I had a date to launch the e-commerce business on May 17th. When he went in the hospital on May 11th, I was like, I can't launch the business. And three separate people came in at three separate times and was like, hey, I know the devil's trying to distract you from launching what you was trying to do. You got to move forward. First person, I was like, nah, he just got food poisoning. We're going to be out of here soon. So I kept disregarding until finally I was like, okay, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I got an 8-year-old in the hospital. My 12-year-old is at home. I don't have anybody to really watch him. He can't stay in the hospital. I can't leave my baby. My mom wasn't around. My daddy was in his 80s. What do I do? The marathon must continue. All gas, no brakes. I'm a State Farm agent. I had a policy that allowed me to have, it's called hospital indemnity, that paid me every day he was in the hospital. So I hired an assistant while I was in the hospital to go downtown to get the shirts, to fulfill the orders. I said, because clearly, if all this is coming at me, it's coming at me because something way bigger is about to really happen. So I really got to push forward on this. We were there 20 whole days. They ran every test that they could on my baby. Just to give you an idea, his lipase number should have been like under 200. He was at 17,000. So we were in a critical situation that no one could figure out. We get out of the hospital on May 30th, May 31st. My uncle dies of a massive heart attack. 17 hours later, my other uncle dies of pneumonia. And my cousin kept reminding me who it was, her father. April, the marathon continues. Like, we cannot let this distract us. And so I take it personal when they come for the West, because one thing about us for show, yeah, it's always going to be all gas, no brakes. Even if you look at us as the underdog, we going to always find a way to, you know.
Remind us that you're not like us.
Thank you. I didn't say it. You did. And we built different.
I don't think anybody. The West, you know, I got a lot of friends. Shout out to Stick Watts. I was telling him, man, like, it's interesting because the West Coast, right? It's literally like California alone is like would be essentially Boston to North Carolina, right? So the West Coast, it's kind of, it's like the South does this too. Like, it's a lot of states that kind of like encompass this, right?
Transformers.
Yeah. But you never hear that on the East Coast. Yeah. It's just New York. Like, yeah. Oh, it's just Philly. Like,
Boston into this thing. Philly, it's a totally.
No. But so the West Coast, like, yeah, it's like a Voltron, right?
But is it even that? It's like, is it really the West Coast or is it?
It's LA. It's LA in the Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Outside of that, we're not.
The West. No, I mean,
no disrespect.
You got Arizona, San Diego.
Who's the artist, though, bro? Like,
huh?
I can't name an artist.
No, just, I'm saying, just in
they general. There. I mean, it's a territory.
It's very territorial.
Yeah, very. But I've never seen it disunited. Well, I'm happy to see it.
But it's not an attack. I don't think nobody's ever attacked the West Coast in history. Right?
What?
Who's ever attacked the West Coast? Like, who's ever attacked the West Coast?
What do you mean? Like, physically? There's been so many.
No, I'm saying, like, as far as, like, attack. Like, there's no verbal attacks on the West Coast. Ever.
Ever?
Yeah, I thought we was going back to Cali.
So there was never East Coast, West Coast?
No, that's a narrative.
That's a narrative.
That divide actually perpetrated.
I was going to say the vibe.
They put that on the cover of the magazine.
That was Tupac. Tupac vehemently dissed East Coast. But Biggie never dissed the West Coast. He said, I'm going back to Cali.
Yeah, we was going back.
Like, it was never.
So you're saying it's all love. Okay.
It was never any. It might be one particular artist that they have an issue with, but it was never like
and the since whole that moment. There's never been an issue. Right.
Yeah,
man. Yeah. If you consider 50 in game, but that's different.
Yeah, that's very different. Yeah. But I'm talking about the mentality that we have.
You look at yourselves as underdogs
or under like well, not as respected as you should be.
I mean, you got your man's here saying
your man's here is wild.
Saying, you know, when you fight low or fight under or fight whatever you said today, some chat that he said.
I could have just put the good kid Mad City album up. We just could have completed this whole thing.
But for us, or at least for me, for Nip, for KDOT, it's all like we see brick walls, we see Drake with all his gimmicks and memes, we go right through them because we not surface.
It's
one of my favorite songs of Nip is Real, and I Yeah.
The whole thing. Yeah.
That is one of my favorite because it embodies.
Young.
Young. No. No. Dang, did I say it wrong?
Young.
No. Real.
Which album?
No. Rap.
Rap.
Oh, we're not in like rap.
Rap in words.
Those lyrics. It resonates.
The video was solid too.
It resonates because we're just different. We
Jiggy with the Rollie and the Vest. That sounds like
inspired.
It sounds like inspiration.
Inspiration.
It's all good.
No, but for real. Okay. Yeah. Right.
It's there.
It's there.
That's the reason why you.
Nah, I think.
He's not gimmicky.
California, like I always like California.
Are you tying gimmicky to like
Drake?
Okay.
Clear.
Not New York. Not New York though.
No.
Okay.
No.
Drizzy.
No. Drake.
So the mind frame is kind of like, you know, for the entrepreneurs, for the hustlers. Like I feel like Cali has always been. It's separated, right? It's on the other side of America, so you kind of feel like it's a chip on your shoulder, right? Like you gotta actually put on because it's not East Coast, it's not Atlanta, it's not New York City. So it's like I just feel that, especially like now, I just feel like that West Coast pride is like, you know, it stands out.
It's magnified.
It's like Brooklyn. Like people from Brooklyn have like a sense of pride that is different. Like you ask anybody else where they're from and they'll say like New York. Like somebody from Queens, somebody from the Bronx, somebody from Manhattan, they'll say they're from New York. You ask somebody from Brooklyn where they're from, they'll say Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. So it's like every other sports team, it's the New York Giants, it's the New York Jets, it's the New York Mets, it's the New York Yankees, but it's the Brooklyn Nets. That's the only sports team that identifies as the borough.
The Brooklyn Dodgers.
Mm-hmm. So
now have in LA.
So yeah, but so I feel like that West Coast,
everything started here.
This is true.
You know,
so. That West Coast pride is similar to that, right? Where it's like West up. It's like the West is heavy on their pride.
I want to tie it back in, right? Because all we're talking about now is really marketing. Mm-hmm. You said you're a marketing genius. Mm-hmm. Social media played a huge role. That's something that we can resonate with. How has the marketing plan changed, adapted to present day from 2019?
So the model that we had in 2019 was I highlighted you mm-hmm. on my platform. So if you was rocking an Afro Unicorn shirt, I would talk about what makes Troy unique, divine, and magical. Why you should check in to earn your leisure. Why you should follow what he got going on. When people saw that, they're like, oh, if I get her shirt, she's going to talk about my brand. Mm-hmm. So not only did I get the followers, I got the sale. So we built, that's how we continue to build the platform, highlighting other people. Now it's more of highlighting the children who want to be brand ambassadors and influencers. I've never paid anyone to rock or support Afro Unicorn. All the celebrities that I name, they do it because they believe in the messaging. I find people where the brand will resonate with you to where you just got to do it because it's, you want to be part of this movement. The thing that we have to triple X now is when I tell y'all I compete against Disney, Marvel, and Nick, every single week they drop reports. Like if we're in party supplies, you got Batman, Disney Princess, Spider-Man is over there, LOL, and we get reports. And they're like, Afro Unicorn, out of the 9 properties, you're at the bottom. Well, of course, Sherlock. They've been here 50 plus years. They got billion-dollar budgets. So now we have to be very strategic on how we market. We got to work on getting content out in the marketplace. Got to get our YouTube up. We just spent a ton of money developing our Amazon store. We're going to spend a lot of money developing our Walmart store on the digital side. Spent a lot of money to get into Roblox. Like, we have to find other ways to try to compete against a billion.
Yeah. They got the shows, they got the movies, they got a streaming service.
And that's why platforms like this matters, because I'm now able to tap into y'all 1.5 million followers to say, hey, go support this brand, because I'll tell you the DEI is dry. It was just a put a bandage.
George Floyd.
Yeah. Just a moment.
Did you benefit from that?
Yeah, that's how they brought the brand. I feel like I did.
After George Floyd.
Heck Yeah.
But they're looking for a brand of license.
I think we all did. I think if you had an e-commerce brand during that time, everybody was like, support Black businesses. We want to support Black Tuesday and all that, Blackout.
And when did you start to see it fading away?
What, last summer? It lasted like 2 years.
Country's back open.
Back to business.
Yeah.
Regularly scheduled programming.
Yep.
I hope you guys have fun.
Yep.
So, what were you about to say, Tom?
But you have to make sure. So, that's the difference. That's the mindset that I have. I'm going to max it out. Your problem was letting me in the door. You ain't going to be able to get me out.
How many different options did they have to choose from, right? Because if they're looking for a character, the license, was there a lot of competition, or was it just the right time at the right place? We have this thing already. Or did you see an influx of, oh, I didn't even realize that there were other people that looked like me that had characters?
I think the first part, did you say right time, right place, and the buyer, because I'm really good friends with the buyer now. She told me that I saw how organic it was behind you. So that's why she chose Afro Unicorn. But now that we're in this space, people hit me up in my DMs all the time. I have this character. I have this book. I want to get it, you know, into products. How do I do it? I'm learning more. So I tell everybody, look, follow me. I am aprilshowers.com. I'm whatever information I have, I want to share it with y'all. We have the licensing expo. The problem is information, right? Like I said from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So we don't even know that these things exist. So you sitting at home with a character that you have, but then you like, but how do I get it out there? You got to come to the licensing expo.
When is that?
That's in Vegas, May 20th.
That's your event?
No. It's an industry event.
An industry event.
Licensing expo.
Every year?
Every year in Vegas. And they also have one in London, the BLE. Mm. But I try to find out every single show. If it directly affects my industry, I need to be in the building.
What's the audience look like predominantly?
Whatever Ye said.
Them. They are in attendance.
Whatever Ye said. That's a fact. Yeah, so how'd you get into motivational speaking?
Probably Saturday, Small Business Saturday, when I started in 2019. Every Saturday I would go live on my platform, just encouraging other female entrepreneurs to get out there and get it, and I would bring professionals on the podcast with them to talk to them and to I just want to share information. I believe in Zig Ziglar's. If you help enough people get to where they want to be, you'll get to where you need to be. So I just believe in pouring into people, and the universe is going to open up and everything's going to fall into my lap. I told you I was with Oprah yesterday, right? Just fell in my lap. So I put things out there to help people. And it just comes back. So why not? That's how I got into motivation speaking, because I want to help people.
So you still have your insurance practice?
I do.
And there's property and casualty insurance?
It's State Farm. We do it all.
But is you have your own State Farm agency, or you work?
I have my own State Farm agency.
So talk about that business.
Interesting. I wanted to talk about this, so I'm happy you brought it back. State Farm, the model, and I hope I don't get in trouble about this. So the model with State Farm is independent contractor, right? You have to find your own building, get your own employees, do your own marketing. I'm very thankful to State Farm because I learned how to do global marketing through them. Mm-hmm. Like if you look at State Farm, every NBA court goal is State Farm. Any baseball, MLB, the big banner, State Farm, like they are a marketing beast, right? And I learned how to tap into their global marketing to my little small office in Long Beach, right? I would run ads on radio where Steve Harvey was really promoting State Farm corporate-wise, and I would run my local ad. People would call me, yeah, Steve Harvey was talking about your agency. I'm like, he was, huh? So the problem with State Farm, though, is if I die, they're going to find somebody else to sit in that seat. So when I was at home thinking about how am I going to leave a legacy for my children, I said, I have to figure something else out. I have to create something that I actually own. So it was really me understanding that I didn't own State Farm. that I needed to figure something else out. And I read an article in Lemonade Stand where it said you should never rely on one source to dictate your livelihood. And it taught us about Shopify and an e-commerce business. I was like, I got this unicorn. Let's throw it on a shirt and see what it do.
Powerful, powerful testimony. You spoke about legacy. Got two sons, obviously. How are they viewing this? I mean, we could call it success, but how are they viewing this moment, watching you go from obviously 2019 State Farm to now having Afro Unicorn and where it's headed?
They are loving it. The youngest 13 doesn't truly understand everything. I talked to him yesterday. I said, hey, I sent you that picture of Oprah. You didn't say nothing. He was like, yeah. I said, well, do you know her? He was like, nah, but Madea told me all about her. Congratulations. I said, well, thank you. But then Jesse is all in the business. He's been like tapped in State Farm, the real estate days. People know they can call on Jesse before they even call me. He was looking up properties for people for me. And he's going off to LSU. I don't know what I'm going to do because he's definitely been full force in this business. Me and him have a special bond. I have a special bond with a 13-year-old, but Jesse's part of a different relationship. During a time in my life where I discovered I was a unicorn, where I was basically told that I wouldn't be nothing. And I was told that in order for me to be successful, to be with a certain person, I would have to leave Afro Unicorn alone. And I chose Afro Unicorn over that certain person. And here we are today.
So how can people follow? What's the website and everything else that you got going on?
Follow on @AfroUnicorn_official. Tap in with me, Got April Showers. The website is AfroUnicorn.com. If you want to get motivated and join my Dream Manifestors Collective for free, I just give out free information. That's at IamAprilShowers.com. And y'all shop, because I'm going to tell y'all, they don't really care about us, like MJ said. So if Afro Unicorn does not do well in retail, they will not let another one in. Again, I'm competing against legacy brands that have been there between 50 and 100 years. And it's me. I'm here now, right? If we don't make it, it's going to be very difficult. There was another Black character brand, not female owned, but male owned, that was on the shelves and you can't even find them anymore.
Do you have this license in perpetuity?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it made me think of, I know Disney, there was a case where the licensing for Mickey Mouse was coming up and they had to try to figure out how they're going to renew it. I'm pretty sure that they will, but it just made me think of the perpetuity is so important.
And it took them, the family 75 years before they went public. Mm. It was a long time before they went public.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. And yeah, shout out to the West, man.
West.
Headed back to Cali soon. For sure. Thank you guys for rocking us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
American Giant makes great clothing, T-shirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S., creating jobs in towns and cities across the country. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.